Hello, Texas America Patrol. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking with John from Tennessee in the first hour of the show, and also comparing two news stories, one from the Jewish Week of September the 28th, the other from the New York Times of today, October the 1st. What is the real story with Rudolph Giuliani and his relationship to the Christian right? Does it in fact indicate that there is a fissure that is taking place on the Christian right between those who believe that supporting Zionism and supporting Israel is the top priority to the exclusion of all others, and those who still support Zionism, but in fact are beginning to be queasy about the thought that in supporting the Zionist lobby, that the Republican Party would come up with a presidential candidate who is absolutely anathema to the Christian right on the social issues. Again, what is happening there? Take a look at the Jewish Week of September the 28th. Take a look at today's New York Times October 1st piece by Mr. Kirkpatrick to see what is going to be an ongoing discussion and an ongoing phenomenon in the days leading up to the first Tuesday of November in 2008. Greg Felton is with us from Vancouver, British Columbia now. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg, how are you, sir?
Very well, Mark, yourself?
Very good. And what's going on in the world today, Greg, in regard to those kinds of issues that you think we ought to be taking a look at?
Well, I noticed that in Burma there's another protest against the military junta that's been running Rangoon for, I guess, quite about 20-odd years now. The Buddhists staged a major demonstration and are being repressed by the military government. And it's all over the press today, or in the last few days it has been. And I can't help but notice that every time that something happens where repression takes place outside of Palestine, the world seems to take notice. And we have the moral indignation of our media, we have the condemnation of the government, we have our leaders going to the UN and declaring that this is wrong and that we should do something, and everybody gets very serious about it. And it's one of those things that the sort of language you see used about this, such as the junta, use of the word military junta, as was in the Globe and Mail a couple of days ago, our so-called newspaper of record in Canada. None of the language that is used towards Burma is ever used toward the United States or Israel. It's as if the vocabulary of moral indignation and condemnation of criminal activity somehow does not apply to Israel. And not that I'm saying that the Burmese or any other people should be denied their respect and their attention, but it galls me to see that how all of this is used as a smokescreen to inflame public compassion at the same time that it downplays the misery of Palestine. Darfur is another example. Yes, Darfur is a similar problem. It's a serious problem. But let's stop focusing on Darfur, which is mild compared to what's been going on for the last 60-odd years in Palestine. And I can't help but notice the distraction, and how wonderful that this recent events in Burma have been for Israel. It's a great way to focus attention on another problem, to allow people to go about their business, stealing land, setting up 40 more illegal roadblocks in the West Bank. And does the world really care when something else gets their attention?
We'll be back with Greg Felton. You might want to take a look at his essay for the Canadian Arab News of September the 27th. It's entitled, "The Media Anesthetizes Our Minds to Make Us Embrace War as Freedom and Fraud as Fact." This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement, Focus Factor, absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Mark Ancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Vancouver joins us today. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And folks, when we talk about the whole business of diversion, the utilization of anything to divert American public attention from what is happening in Palestine, we're reminded of a couple of things, or at least I am. One is Greg's essay of September the 27th in the Canadian Arab News. It's entitled, "The Media Anesthetizes Our Minds to Make Us Embrace War as Freedom and Fraud as Fact." Another thing that's well worth your time this morning is to take a look at Wikipedia. There is an essay there entitled, "Operation Mockingbird." What is or what was Operation Mockingbird? Wikipedia says that it is a central intelligence agency operation to influence domestic and foreign media whose activities were made public during the Church Committee investigation in 1975. Of course, the results of that investigation were published in 1976. If you go to lewrockwell.com today, by the way, they have a link to this article on Operation Mockingbird in Wikipedia. Greg, I think what it suggests is that we have a classic case of media manipulation and media spin, both in terms of what is said as well as what isn't said and what isn't covered, and that when it comes again to Israel, as you've pointed out this morning, all of the things presently going on in the West Bank and Gaza are simply disappearing from the front pages as the entire focus of the Western media, both print and electronic versions, seems to be on this business in Burma.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons I wrote the piece I did on George Orwell, which fortunately got picked up by Information Clearinghouse, which is always good because that always sends it to several thousand people around the world. What bothers me is that we have a vocabulary that we have so thoroughly bastardized that it no longer has any objective value as a medium for communication. In George Orwell's book, 1984, words like freedom, to be free, did not have the sense of liberty or political equality. It simply meant to be shed of something, like a dog is free from fleas. Or words like good meant simply good in the sense of good for the state or good behavior. So you have whole words that we have, words that we thought had value, like junta or oppression or justice, and these words are only used in the sense that it does not bring criticism onto Israel or the United States. There is no point picking up the press anymore. There is no point reading about the world, because to do so means you have to buy into an official web of deceit, because the whole point of the media is not to report news, but to hide news. It's become the news hiding information system. And this is what bothers me about Burma. As I say, I don't want to minimize the suffering of the Burmese, but why do we pay so much attention and get so bent out of shape when we have, you know, a few protesters in Burma treated disrespectfully or violently? George Bush goes to the United Nations and invokes the UN Charter of Human Rights and basically makes a mockery of the document. I mean, I seriously think that George Bush is not mentally sane. Here's a man that goes to the UN, makes a non-cognitive rant, and he's treated with the sort of deference one would reserve for any head of state. But George Bush is not mentally sane. I mean, he should be put out of his misery, and we should be put out of his misery, because he simply needs to be removed from office under Article 22 of the Constitution. Of course, that would put Dick Cheney.
Well,
our insurance policy is not to do that, because Cheney is so much worse.
Yes, and again, to me, when I look at this whole thing, Greg, it reminds me of what the caller was saying from Tennessee in the first part of the show. We do seem to be dealing here with a classic case of Hegelian dialectic, whether, you know, you're looking at Bush and Cheney on the one hand and the three so-called upper-tier Republican presidential candidates on the one hand, or their Democratic counterparts. It seems to me that on this whole fundamental question of Palestine, that there isn't a dime's bit of difference between them. Some are simply more aggressive than others. And, you know, to me, as I look, for example, at Mr. Giuliani, it's absolutely amazing to me that, at least as of right now, there is a body of opinion that believes that he is the leading contender in the Republican presidential sweepstakes. And yet when you look at the same time at what the guy has been saying on the whole subject of Palestine, it's rhetorically even far more radical than anything I've ever heard out of Dick Cheney, at least publicly.
I know. This is what disturbs me about the press. I mean, you can talk about Rudy Giuliani, but you don't mention the fact that he's criminal, that he is involved in the cover-up of September the 11th, and that he is advocating mass murder as national policy, just like Cheney is doing. And you look at someone like Ron Paul, who is out there with much public support, but who gets virtually no coverage by the official media. And again, you look at just how our minds are being conditioned to accept, again, fraud as fact and war as peace. And this is why I'm advocating that nobody turn on the television or read a newspaper to find out what's going on. People have to become actively engaged in the pursuit of information, and you have to choose which information looks reasonable. Giuliani should be behind bars. He's a criminal. He's a liar and a criminal. And again, as you said earlier, that could go for almost everybody running for office except for Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich or maybe Jim Edwards. The rest of them are all basically selling out to Israel and are basically intoning the same sort of eternal war that the neocon Zionist junta in Washington needs. In Israel, the greatest threat to its existence right now is not Palestine, it's not Iraq or Iran, it's peace. Because the minute Israel stops killing, stops stealing, and stops lying, it has to face up to what it's done. It's as if it continues to commit acts of criminality that it could sort of rationalize, well, we can't stop now. We're too busy killing people. We're too busy fighting for our so-called right to exist, which doesn't exist. And but the minute they stop, that's the minute they have to acknowledge what they have done and to recognize Palestine's right to exist, which it could never do. And so in the United States now, we have a neocon junta that has nothing else to do except kill and destroy the American economy for the sake of killing. $8.2 trillion is what the U.S. government owes to the world and to its internal banking system. And over half of that was rung up since George W. Bush assumed the throne of the United States. The United States cannot stop. It has no government. And this is what people have to recognize. And I would hope that every American refuses to vote in the 2008 election. I would hope that nobody votes. Of course, it's not going to happen. The bad people will vote, and they'll put their people in, and then we end up going down the spiral of eternal war and self-destruction. And that's what brings me to another point I want to bring up today, and one that gives me some cause for optimism, kind of a strange optimism. But it's the optimism that I end my book with, and that is faith that the U.S. military may be the last line of defense of the American democracy. I'm sure you've heard of Operation Checkmate. This was
Yes. The
one that, nuclear weapons taken from Ohio, brought down to Louisiana, ostensibly for transport into the Persian Gulf so they could be dropped on Iran. Well, guess what? There are some great people in the United States. One is Admiral William Fallon and General Joint Chiefs of Staff, whose name escapes me at the moment, and it will come to me a little bit later. I do apologize for that. But anyway, they have refused. They refused to transport the bombs. Not on my watch, was the head of CENTCOM, General William Fallon. He said he is not going to attack Iran, period. That is not going to happen. And you think about that and how the military thwarted Cheney's attempt to provoke war against Iran. This may be the great reason why the United States may not go to war. I mean, Bush, you know, over the objections of the military, he escalated the U.S. commitment to Iraq, given the Orwellian excuse of surge, assuming it was like a temporary blip. And, of course, he went in and did it. However, there's no indication that that may necessarily hold for Iran. If we're talking about nuclear weapons, we're talking about provoking nuclear war with Iran. And I'm not so sure that Bush can get away with it if the military absolutely refuses to go along with it. You would have the military forcibly against the White House. You'd have the White House having to declare war on the military. And is that likely? I don't know. But it would sit down a massive constitutional showdown. And I think that's something we should be watching for. We should watch to see just how independent, how much integrity the military has to stop the White House from provoking war in Iran. And this is something that, as I say, there has to be, I think, in my view, a coup d'etat in the United States. There has to be the military, has to move against the White House. It has to unseat the White House. There has to be a formal recognition that the Republic is dead, and that fact has to be brought home to the American public so they don't continue the farce of democracy in November 2008.
We'll be back with Greg Felton. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Public Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Talking about doublespeak, here's a quote from the Jewish Week of September the 28th, talking about Rudolph Giuliani and his relationship to the so-called Christian right. The Jewish Week notes that in the current edition of Foreign Affairs magazine, by the way, I have looked at Giuliani's piece in that magazine, have read it in its entirety. It's a very disgusting essay, but that's beside the point, I guess. In the current issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, according to the Jewish Week, Rudolph Giuliani announced strong opposition to Palestinian statehood, saying, quote, "It is not in the interest of the United States, at a time when it is being threatened by Islamist terrorists, to assist the creation of another state that will support terrorism. Palestinian statehood will have to be earned through sustained good governance a clear commitment to fighting terrorism, and a willingness to live in peace with Israel, unquote. There you have it from Herod Giuliani. That's what he thinks of Palestinian statehood. And, of course, that's his definition of terrorism in regard to who's involved and who's supporting it and in regard to who the victims are. Is this a classic case of the manipulation of language? I suggest that perhaps it is. Greg, again, we're looking at this whole situation as we presently find it here on the 1st of October. How long do you think it's going to be before some of these events come to a head? I mean, clearly when we start talking about the possibility that key figures in the American military may have prevented the implementation of this so-called Operation Checkmate, it may be a suggestion that some very, very serious things are afoot that are being fought out at the highest levels of the U.S. government. Is there an unseen war between good guys and bad guys within the American regime?
Well, quite clearly, yes. You have the Americans versus the Israel-Americans. And those Americans who put Israel's interests first and have a rather perverted understanding of biblical history and use that as an excuse to prop up Israel and essentially do whatever Israel wants it to do. What I find rather interesting is that the first attempt to provoke war with war against Iran sort of collapsed when the military refused to be manipulated by Cheney. Now, I think we're going to have the problem of the U.S. looking for another excuse to attack. Remember, it took the United States quite a long time to attack Iraq when Saddam Hussein was head of the country. They had to set up the fraud of weapons of mass destruction. They had to give the illusion that the U.S. was obeying the law. They had to set up a legitimate casus belli. They had to manipulate the information. I don't know how they're going to do that this time, but I don't think we're going to have the sort of rush to war that people thought that we're going to have. I think we're going to see a lot of groundwork laid, and we know this is going to happen because the Bush junta sat down with Fox, CNN, the American Enterprise Institute, and a couple of other Zionist mouthpieces to orchestrate a complete media campaign to prepare the United States public for an eventual attack on Iran. You're going to have the sort of crap that's going to come down the pike saying, oh, Iran is abusing its Jewish people, or that Iran is not allowing the nuclear inspectors access to their facilities, or so forth. And then you're going to have a scenario, as happened in Iraq, probably, where the Zionists in the UN are going to deliberately provoke Iran and compel Iran to kick them out or to refuse to cooperate to some degree. And that will be used as yet another excuse to attack the country. Right now, there is, I don't think, any stomach to go into Iran, and I don't think the U.S. junta is prepared for a confrontation with its own military. I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm not quite sure when the attack, if it's going to happen, will occur. But right now, I don't see it on the horizon.
What do you make of the talk that's been going on about a partition of Iraq? I know Leon Hadar of the Cato Institute has a very somewhat tongue-in-cheek op-ed on this in Pat Buchanan's publication, The American Conservative, of September the 24th. That one's entitled A Separate Peace. There have been several other essays that have been out there in recent times talking about this whole business of the partition of Iraq. I'm looking at something as well. Gabriella Zamparini has something in the online journal from September the 28th that's titled An Old Zionist Dream, The Partition of Iraq. What do you make of this talk of partitioning Iraq into three basic sectors?
I think this is one of the most bizarre things that I've seen come out recently. And it's actually an admission that the United States has absolutely failed to achieve any success whatever in Iraq. And I hear the music in the background, so I don't want to rush this. So I'll talk to you after the next commercial break, I think.
Very good. We'll be right back with Greg Felton. In between times, you might want to take a look at Gabriella Zamperina's essay, An Old Zionist Dream, The Partition of Iraq, which you can find at the online journal. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support the No More Wars for Israel conference, folks. It's being held in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. For more information, you can contact Mark Lind of the American Free Press. You can do that at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. That's nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. And you can also contact Mark Lind via snail mail at Post Office Box 27, Kerry Wood with a C, Idaho. Post Office Box 27, Kerry Wood with a C, Idaho, 83809. If you want to be a part of that conference, hotel rooms are $124 per night, double occupancy allowed. Registration is $150 per person, couples for $175. Those not able to attend, Mark Lind needs your help with donations to make sure that that conference is properly and completely funded. You can contact him again at Post Office Box 27, Kerry Wood with a C, Idaho, 83809, or at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. www.thebestsellingsupplement.com. A lot of good confirmed speakers that are going to be up there on that podium October the 12th through the 14th. If you proceed to that site on the World Wide Web, nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com, you will see the latest in terms of the lineup for that conference. Greg, we've been talking this morning about all kinds of things, including this proposal for Iraq to be partitioned. Gabriella Zamperini has a post at Online Journal saying that this is an old Zionist dream. He, of course, notes the fact that Joe Biden is in favor of this partition, the so-called head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Biden, of course, was interviewed recently by Shalom Television, and he said, Israel is the single greatest strength that America has in the Middle East. I am a Zionist, says Biden. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist, unquote. The Zamperini report then goes on to cite Israel Shahak's Zionist plan for the Middle East, which in turn is based on Oded Yanon's A Strategy for Israel in the 1980s, which in turn cross-references to a couple of other well-known publications in the world Zionist movement and in the Israeli intelligence establishment that all seem to suggest that this carving of Iraq into three separate sectors and maybe subsectors within those sectors is very much in keeping with the Israeli Zionist game plan. What do you think?
Well, that's quite true. Matter of fact, I have Oded Yanon in my book, and I use that to demonstrate that this goes back to 1982. Israel's interest in carving up the Middle East and then subjugating various Middle Eastern regimes. This did not begin with George W. Bush. This has been a long-standing Zionist, Zionist objective, and you're quite right about that. Now, I'm glad to see that Joe Biden has admitted to has confessed to being a criminal. Anybody who supports Zionism is like a German who supports Nazism. You don't have to be a German to support Nazism. I can just imagine someone saying that around 1934, standing up in the American Senate. I mean, it also proves, I think, my point in my book that that the Democratic Party is so thoroughly compromised, it has no capacity to stand up for the United States. It's the party of Israel. The Democrats are the party of Israel, and it's only when the Democrats do not seem to be sufficiently zealous in their willingness to murder Arabs and acquiesce in the theft of Arab land that the party of Israel goes to the Republicans. Sort of parks their support there for a term or two. And this is what happened with Reagan and Bush, when Jimmy Carter made the mistake of believing that his job was to bring about peace in the Middle East, which, of course, is the last thing that Israel wants. So Biden, again, should be investigated for allegiance to a foreign power, because Biden is simply selling out America further for Israel's self-interest. But regarding the issue about partitioning Iraq, that's a very interesting concept, because this was one of the reasons why Dick Cheney approved of not going into Baghdad in the first place when he was defense secretary to George H.W. Bush. Remember, he gave a speech at the Soros Foundation in 1991 in which he laid out all the reasons why the U.S. should stay out of Iraq, and all of these reasons have come to fruition. So Dick Cheney deliberately lied when he said that the U.S. had to invade Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, blah, blah, woof, woof, pass the ammunition. So Cheney is essentially a liar and a criminal, and he's admitted this because his whole statement in 1991 belie his alleged defense of U.S. self-interest in Iraq. Now, let me read a little bit of this passage that he gave from the Soros Foundation. It's in chapter one of my book. And talking about why they shouldn't have gone in, he says, I think we'd have to hunt him down. And once we'd gone and done that, we'd got rid of Saddam Hussein and his government, then we'd have to put together another government in its place. What kind of government? Should it be a Sunni government or a Shiite government or a Kurdish government or a Ba'athist regime? How long would we have to stay in Baghdad to keep that government in place? Well, what happened to the government once U.S. forces withdrew? How many casualties should the U.S. accept in that effort to create clarity and stability in a situation that is inherently unstable? I think it's vitally important for a president to know when to use military force, and I think it's also very important for him to know when not to commit U.S. military force. And this is essentially This is what Cheney said in 1991. And to fracture the country as we're advocating now is an admission of failure. And just say one more point here. Some have suggested that if we spent another day in combat in the Kuwait theater, we would have changed the outcome of the subsequent conflict between the Shia and the Kurds in the north against Iraq. I do not believe that is the case. And so what we have here is that Cheney is arguing that we should not get bogged down in another quagmire in Iraq. And now we are trying to partition the country along sectarian lines or religious lines. And it says, should it be a Shiite government, a Sunni government, or a Kurdish government, or a Ba'athist regime? So Cheney does not want to fracture the country. He wants to keep it intact. And now we're essentially admitting that we basically screwed everything up and now trying to partition the country. And this goes right to the heart of my argument that Iraq was invaded not for the sake of oil, but for the sake of Israel. This is the Zionist dream, as you rightly pointed out. And this everything I'm seeing coming out of Washington, or what I call Washington Tel Aviv, is further proof that Israel is dominating and dictating U.S. policy. Oil is no longer, or has not been, a prime consideration of U.S. policy since at least Bill Clinton's ascendancy to the throne.
Yes, and to me, Greg, as I look at this whole thing, there are so many different aspects of this that it's really hard to know where to begin. But when I look at what we're doing in the Middle East and in Iraq and Palestine specifically, it seems to me that even aside from the bad character of these policies, they're unsustainable, they're driving this country ever deeper into debt and military quagmire. We've got a situation where untold scores of innocent people have been killed and unfortunately will be killed as a result of these policies, it seems to me. And as bad as that entire package is, many Americans, it seems, have lost sight of their constitutional moorings. Whatever one thinks of what should be happening in the Middle East one way or the other, I think James Madison's warnings to the people of this country are well taken. This country was properly understood as a constitutional republic, not supposed to be in the business of fighting endless foreign wars that were none of its business. It was not supposed to be involved in promoting foreign alliances and foreign entanglements. It was not supposed to be involved in firing up the printing presses to inflate its country's currency, to expand into various regions of the world militarily. And Madison, I think, understood that the bogeyman of foreign enemies was in many cases the supreme threat or the supreme perceived threat that would be used by a central government at home to begin to repress the people domestically in regard to a curtailment of their God-given constitutional rights and so forth and so on. Essentially, it seems to me that Americans have forgotten the constitutional moorings of people like Madison, who were basically saying, stay out of foreign conflicts, stay out of foreign entanglements, have a sound currency, and only when one does those things does one have a stable constitutional republic at home that guarantees individual liberties vis-a-vis the central state. That's something that's missing with the strong element on the American right now that is supporting this Bush-Cheney view of the world, which is anything but a Madisonian understanding of where we ought to be.
Well, don't forget, James Madison, if we were alive today, would be arrested as a terrorist for opposing Bush's endless war in Palestine and Iraq. So this is why I have to come back to my point that the United States does not exist anymore. There is no republic. There is a civil war going on between the Israel-Americans, the Zionists, and those Americans who still believe that their country is a republic and has a constitutional foundation. The U.S. is not so much at war with Iraq or Iran. It's at war with itself. And this is the whole message behind the September the 11th attack. The United States needed an excuse to wage war on itself, to suspend the Constitution, and to turn the country into an all-purpose military battering ram for Israel. The people who are running the United States are the same people that entered government in the 1980s with Reagan and completely perverted the country from a secular democracy to a theocratic aggressive empire. And the perversion of thought that is manifested in the minds of, or what passes for the mind of Giuliani or Cheney, Bush, Rumsfeld, these are the people that came to power in 1980, and these are the people that represent the foreign occupation of America. These are not Americans. They may have been born in this country, but these people have a prior allegiance to a foreign power. It's like you have the pod people, and the invasion of the body snatchers. You have Americans that look American, but they're not American. And there has to be, I think, a physical civil war in the United States to bring this cold civil war, if we can use that term, to an end. Americans have no liberties, and they have to start taking action against their government. The military has to overthrow the White House. There is no other way, I don't see, because the Congress won't do it. You have sycophants like Biden who are basically groveling to Israel, saying, oh, I'm a Zionist, I'm not a Jew, but I'm a Zionist. I mean, that's not the kind of opposition you want in the Congress. There are some good people in Congress and the Senate, and people who are probably going to bed at night just torn up inside at what's happened to their country. But the Congress itself is an emasculated body of yahoos and sycophants who won't stand up to Israel. I mean, the Democrats have willingly not moved to impeach Bush and Cheney. They have given permission for every spending bill to prosecute the war in Iraq that has come down from the White House. The whole body is intimidated and controlled by the Israel lobby. Anybody who shows the least amount of intelligence or independent thought is immediately vilified. And so you have a bunch of emasculated puppets running the show in Washington, D.C. And the only place where you can't have that really so much is in the military, although a bunch of Christian yahoos are being put in the higher places and trying to enforce religion on its soldiers contrary to the Constitution. There are enough good people left in the armed forces that do remember what the armed forces are for. They're a constitutional body for the sake of protecting the republic. And I think it's interesting to draw some connection, I think, between groups like Blackwater, the Zionist paramilitary Gestapo or brown shirts that go around killing without law, without any restraint and or a law unto themselves, the collapse of the U.S. dollar, the subprime mortgage scandal, and the Department of Homeland Security. I'd like to look at this for a minute, if you don't mind, just to look at just what these things are. Blackwater is a private army. There is over which there is no oversight, no control. It obeys no laws. Blackwater can go in and shoot women and children in Iraq, and nobody has ever been prosecuted for murder. And no one ever will be prosecuted for murder because Blackwater is answerable to no one except the companies that hire it. And the companies are autonomous in Iraq, just as they're autonomous virtually in the United States. Look at the subprime lending scandal. Unlike most investments, which are regulated and protected by federal legislation, subprime lending is not. It's off the books, really. People who want to invest in questionable mortgages or various debt paper can do so through things like Bear Stearns or various banks, but the banks don't have to account to anybody for this. There's no regulations governing it. It's like the Wild West casino. You can put your money in it, get some good interest out of it, but you may not be able to get your money out. And though people may not be told about this, they should be investigating when they put money into something. This is not the public investment vehicle. This is a private investment casino. And finally, the Department of Homeland Security, which I say in my book is just two synonyms away from KGB in Russian, Komissariat Gosudarstvennoj Bezopasnosti. This is essentially a private Zionist internal police force parallel to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The FBI is supposed to care for Americans on their home soil. It's a domestic police force, a federal force, and that's understandable. There is no need for the Department of Homeland Security. There is no need at all for it. It's irrelevant. It's extraneous. And yet, what have we done? We have taken the entire Department of Immigration and Naturalization, subsumed it under the rubric of the Homeland Security, put as its head an Israeli national named Michael Chertoff, and created, to all intents and purposes, a private, Israel-run domestic surveillance force that has the only objective whose only objective is to terrorize the American public into thinking their lives are in jeopardy and to subvert the Constitution. Private police force in the United States, private police force around the world in Blackwater, and a private casino in the Bear Stearns and other such subprime lending scandals. This is all consistent with Cheney's desire to get away from public oversight over any dealings with Israel. This is all part of trying to undermine the public trust and public foundation of the republic. Privatize everything, make it unaccountable, and you get away with murder, literally.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Greg Felton, author of The Host and the Parasite.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Wanted to thank Greg Felton for being on the show today. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Tomorrow, Dr. Adrian Krieg will join me. We're going to be looking at some of the details of his book, The Illuminati, and his plans for the future. We're also going to be taking a look at some fun definitions from Dr. Krieg's dictionary entitled The New American Newspeak Dictionary. Paul Craig Roberts, maybe as we conclude the show today, should have the final word in his essay, Hypocrisy Rules the West. He asks us rhetorically, who is going to stop Bush from a third war crime? Not his vice president, not his national security advisor, not his secretary of defense, not his secretary of state, not Congress, not the U.S. military, nor the corporate fat cats, not the Israel lobby, not the bought and paid for allies, quote unquote, not the anti-war movement, not the American people, certainly not the media. Americans are content, says Dr. Roberts, with whatever crimes their government commits, as long as the justification is American safety. Americans' willingness to murder others out of fear for their own safety is a result of September the 11th. The anti-war movement is impotent because it has accepted the government's 9/11 story. To oppose a war when you accept the government's reason for the war is an indefensible position. The Bush regime knows, says Dr. Roberts, that if people will believe its 9/11 story, they'll believe anything. Propaganda silences facts, and Americans fall for one set of falsehoods after another. The alleged 9/11 hijackers all came from countries allied with the U.S., principally Saudi Arabia, but Americans believe the government's lies that Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and Syria are responsible. Americans have been convinced that without regime change in these countries, the American superpower will remain helpless in the face of stateless Muslims armed with box cutters. Americans have been brainwashed to believe that Muslims hate us for our freedom and democracy, whereas in fact the problem is the U.S. government's immoral foreign policy and interference in the internal affairs of Muslim countries. Bush's message to the Middle East is clear. Be a puppet state or be destroyed. In the meantime, says Paul Craig Roberts, to prevent democracy and civil liberties from getting in the way of making Americans safe, Bush had set aside habeas corpus, due process, right to legal representation, privacy, and the separation of powers mandated by the U.S. Constitution. Otherwise, Bush says, we will lose the war on terror. Bush says he has made Americans safe by ridding them of these constitutional impediments to their safety. And once American bombs fall on Iran and Syria, those countries will be free and democratic too, like Iraq and Afghanistan. In leading Americans to this conclusion, says Paul Craig Roberts, Bush has sunk the United States to a new low in human intelligence and morality. And again, as we conclude today's show, I'm going to ask you one more time, folks, support the No More Wars for Israel conference being held in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. For information about this conference online, you can go to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. That's nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. If you need to write Mark Lenda, the American Free Press, for information on this conference, you can do so at Post Office Box 27, Kerry Wood with a C, Idaho, 83809. That's Mark Lenda, the American Free Press, Post Office Box 27, Kerry Wood with a C, Idaho, 83809. And again, online, that's nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. I'd like to thank Greg Felton for being on the show today. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Tomorrow, we're joined by Dr. Adrian Krieg. This is Mark Dankoff signing off for today from San Antonio, Texas, live on the Republic Broadcasting Network. God bless you. See you tomorrow, 7 a.m. sharp Central Time. With recent